The gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Cindy. Before I begin my talk this morning, will you pray with me and for me? May the words I speak be acceptable to you, gracious, loving God. May the meditations from my heart touch the hearts of those listening. Amen. Mother's Day can be a difficult day for so many. There's a pain of loss. Some of you have lost your mothers recently, and some of you have lost your mothers a long time ago, and yet that pain remains. Some of you have gone through the agony of the death of a child. Some of you have complicated relationships with your mother. Some of you have more than painful, complicated relationships, but totally broken relationships. Feelings of hurt and feelings of anger. Some of you are women wanting children and unable to bear children. The list goes on and on. So Mother's Day can be a painful day and not always a day of celebration. And we as Christians need to be sensitive to that when we talk about Mother's Day being a day of celebration. And I guess I think about how wonderful it is we have a gracious, loving, mothering God to turn to. When I think about Mother's Day, my first memories are going to church as a little girl. And we would walk into the church and we would receive a red carnation if our mother was alive, and a white carnation if our mother was deceased. And we would all sit in the church, and we would look over the church, and it would be filled. At that time, the church was just filled with people. And it would be filled with red and white flowers. And that's one of my first memories. Or another memory was mothers and girls wore corsages of pink and white. And if your mother was gone, you wore a white corsage. And if your mother was alive, you wore a pink corsage. And that was my very first memory of Mother's Day. I happen to be very fortunate to have a beautiful, loving mother, to have had a beautiful, loving mother. She died when she was 89 years old, and you know, I still miss her. I have a box where I had saved a bunch of her things that I loved. And knowing I was going to speak to you this morning on Mother's Day, I went through that box and I was just kind of musing over the things, and I found a poem that I'd written to my mother. Let me tell you a little bit about that poem. Years ago, our family went to a camp in Minnesota. I have been hired to be the accompanist at this camp. And at this camp, they had creative writing, creative drama, creative movement, creative art, and prayer groups. And I had gone to the creative movement. There were two circles of people, and one circle moved to the left. That was a circle on the inside. And then there was a circle on the outside, and it moved to the right. And with each movement, we moved one person, and we held hands, and we sang to each other about how you were very special to your Father in heaven. It just so happened my mother was in the inner circle, and I was in the outer circle. And as we moved, I came to my mother, and I held her hands, and she held mine, and we sang to each other. Our family had gone through a tragedy not long right before that. And so I have really deep memories about that special moment when I think about my mother. And we sang to each other. Well, when I pulled that poem out and I read that poem, it was like God put that poem in my hands. God put that poem in my hands. Because when I read that poem, and I brought it with me this morning, I need to share that with you. It's called Hands and Song. Let me share this and then I'll explain why. I felt the hands of comfort today. I sensed the touch of another. Close, face to face, and hands in my hands, it was the touch of my mother. Hair white as snow, skin soft as silk, eyes with tenderness glowing. She sang to me and I sang to her, deep ran the love overflowing. Rare as the gift and sweet as the time of sharing a moment like this, the song that we sang came to an end. We left with a hug and a kiss. She felt my pain and she shared my joy. Moment in time like no other. A gift from God that's always been there. Love of my beautiful mother. And at the bottom, I wrote, in honor of your 80th birthday, with deepest love and respect. And I held that because here I am, 80 years old. And I wrote that poem for my mother when she was 80 years old. So that's a memory I wanted to share with you about my lovely mother. There are lots of stories I could share about my mother. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? As a mother, too, I have many memories. And we do the best we can as a mother. And some things we do well, some things we don't do so well. It's a humbling experience to be a mother. We miss the mark sometimes and just learning on the job. Some memories make us smile, other memories make us grimace. My first memory as a mother, when my daughter Anne was born, I was teaching school before she was born, taught till January, and she was born in March. And a friend of mine was a knitter, and she taught me how to knit. At that time, you didn't know if you were going to have a boy or a girl, and I was working in a nursery, and I was doing Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy things, and I had all this orange yarn, and so I took my orange yarn to my friend's house, and she taught me how to knit. And I still have my knitting on the needle. I brought it with me today so you could see. It's really quite a fine job. And she taught me how to knit and purl. I never took it off the needle because I ended up having three children, four and under, and I never had time to knit. But she taught me how to knit, and so I learned how to knit and purl at her house. And 2 months later, my daughter was born. And at that time, you stayed in the hospital 3 or 4 days, so I took my knitting to the hospital. Thought I'd sit there and knit. And the nurse came in, and other mothers were knitting too, and they had little pink and blue booties and pale pastel green and white and yellow, and I was sitting there knitting, very proud of my knitting, and the nurse came in and she said, "And what were you expecting?" That's one of my first memories about being a mother. The other memory I have about being a mother was when I was holding Anne going down the elevator, and my doctor was in the elevator with me, and he looked at Anne, and I was holding her and just cuddling her and just so proud of her and loving her. And he said to me, "She doesn't belong to you. She's just a gift for a while." And I'll never forget those words. She's just a gift for a while. And I've come to hang on to those words, realizing that my children that I have are just gifts that I have for a while. Powerful words. I've never forgotten that. There's a story about my second child, who happened to be a boy. His name is Bob. And he had a best friend that he played with when he was little. And at this time, he was about 3 or 4 years old. And I had taught my children when they would go to their friends' homes, never ask for things. And so he was playing with his friend Tim, and he went to Tim's house. He, by the way, loved fruit. And he went to his friend's house, and his friend's mother told me this story again just recently. And she's never forgotten this story, and of course, because she never forgot it, I remember it too. And she said he stood there staring at her bowl of bananas. And he finally said to her, "Mrs. Stasel, may I buy a banana?" And that's one of the memories I have of my second child. Well, I have a third child, and her name is Carrie. She went into counseling, and I think you can probably understand why when I tell you this story. I was a sewer, and I made my children clothes. And one winter, I made all three of my children corduroy snowsuits, bright red, and they had black leather buttons. And so it was Christmas night, and I put all three snowsuits on the children. Now, they're all about the same size, and they all looked alike. They had their boots on, their hats on, and at that time, we were going to my parents' house. It was about 20 minutes away, and at that time, you had to take everything with you, and I took the playpen and the high chair, and we had the gifts in the car and the food in the car, and put the kids in the car, and a lot of noise and a lot of commotion, a lot of excitement. You know how it is on Christmas Eve. Well, we got in the car, and we were halfway there, and I turned around, and I said, "Where's Carrie?" We didn't have Carrie. We only had two of the three children. So we turned around and went back home. The house was totally dark. Turned on the living room light, and there sat Carrie in her red snowsuit, in her boots, never making a peep, sitting in the center of the living room floor in all her splendor, being left alone by her mother and her father. That's why she went into counseling, I'm sure. Well, in spite of me, all my children have grown up to be pretty wonderful, amazing adults, and there are many stories I could share. But this isn't where I want to focus this morning, and I'm sure some of the stories would be good. I'm sure about that. But some of them may be not so good. I could go on and on, but I want the focus this morning to be on our mothering God. God as a parent. When Chris sang so beautifully this morning, "His eye is on the sparrow," I couldn't help but think about how our God is watching over each one of us all the time, like a parent, especially during these difficult days we are experiencing. Some of us have lots of time to contemplate and reflect. Many are on the front lines, so busy helping others, often at the risk of their own lives. Parents are busy with children at home, finding ways to occupy them, to educate them, to challenge them. Sometimes too much togetherness can be difficult, and others find themselves isolated and alone, young and old, together alone, alone together. Together alone. Reminds me of an older couple sitting in their rockers, and she said to him, "I'm so proud of you." What? I'm so proud of you. What? I'm so proud of you. Well, I'm tired of you too. Seriously, we're all tired of this situation, aren't we? And yet we all need to be proud of the goodness we see. Help people helping other people. People bringing food to each other. I've even had that happen. Lisa Laird from our church shops for me. Chris Lovkin brought me things for my garden. On and on it goes. I get telephone calls. I watch and I see people helping each other when I'm out and about. I hear people saying things. Our world is changing, hopefully for the good. We need to beware of our loving, caring, nurturing, mothering God that is continuing with us all through it all. As Cindy read this morning, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. I hope each one of you can find a quiet place, a place of stillness, where you can connect with our nurturing, loving, mothering God during these troubling times. I find this place, as you know, in my garden. As I pointed out to the children this morning, there are many signs of God's love and his care and presence all around us. I often pick up my peace rock and I hold it. Pastor Roy, a few weeks ago, talked about peace, shalom. And Rev Bev talked about hope, and we need to hang on to that, don't we, during these troubling times. Last week, Pastor Kim talked about having an abundant life. Having an abundant life is not dependent upon outward circumstances, by the way. Abundant life comes from within. We all have that divine spark within us. It's the ground of our being. We're tethered in that divine nature of God. It tethers us. 1 Peter 4 says, the great I am, and that's what tethers us, keeps us grounded. And we need to remember that life is not about us, but it's about Christ that lives in us. This is where our true self lives. Life is not about us, but we are about life. During this time of crisis, we have a chance to get in touch with our true selves. If ever we need to do that, it's right now. Our manufactured selves are ego-centered. That ego creates comparison, competition, envy. Our true selves are grounded in love. That's the ground of our being. A life of gratitude, a life of trust, a life of humility, confidence, and mutual flourishing. It's through this mutual flourishing and thoughtful togetherness that we're going to survive. We must be an instrument, a chalice, and a vessel through which God's amazing work can flow. I'd like to share excerpts from a poem called Continue by Maya Angelou. My wish for you is that you continue to be who and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart. Continue in a society dark with cruelty to let the people hear the grandeur of God in the peals of your laughter. Continue to remind the people that each is as good as the other and that no one is beneath nor above you. Continue to remember your own young years and look with favor upon the lost and the least, and the lonely. Continue to put the mantle of your protection around the bodies of the young and the defenseless. Continue to take the hand of the despised and diseased and walk proudly with them in the high street. Some might see you and be encouraged to do likewise. Continue to plant a public kiss of concern on the cheek of the sick and the aged and the infirm and count that as a natural action to be expected. Continue to let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. Continue to dare to love deeply and risk everything for the good thing. Continue to float happily in the sea of infinite substance, which set aside riches for you before you had a name. And by so doing, you and your work will be able to continue eternally. So beautifully written. We are alone together, a deep sense of community, very deep sense of connection to each other and to our loving, mothering God. May we be that instrument, that chalice, that vessel through which the love of God can continue to flow. Today, there is so much suffering. Remember that when we suffer, God suffers. Gracious, loving God, break our hearts over the suffering that breaks your heart. This is what it means to carry the cross. May we gladly bear this cross. Amen.